Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
We are concluding our three-part series looking at this idea, this word called blessed. To utilize this series, we've been looking at what's known as the Beatitudes, the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. And so I encourage you today to open up your bulletin and grab that insert. Follow along with what God wants to inspire you with today. You can use the YouVersion Bible app to go to events, and we should have an event there where all the Scripture is there. I think people really like that live event because they can know how close I am to the end of my message. So if you're that kind of guy or gal, just open that app up and you can kind of see how things are progressing. I put some quotes in there. We put all of the Scriptures we're going to teach in there, and you can scroll to the end. I also encourage you to engage some of these words on Facebook or Twitter or whatever you use as a social media, because I think that when God inspires you with a truth, it might not be just for you. It might be the word that other people need. In fact, I thought this was really cool. Last week, Joelle Jordan posted what I asked everyone to do was to give an example of someone who lived a particular way. And she shared that with the person she wrote on our wall. And that started this whole conversation of people just loving on each other. And I didn't mean to bring that up. It's not in my notes, Joelle. But I thought that was really cool. And I think that it's just one of those moments, again, where we can use something that can be used for very bad things. We can claim it for the kingdom of God. You know, Facebook can be really agitating for a lot of us, right? But we can also use that space to do God's work. And so, again, we just encourage you to engage with what God has for you today and to allow an opportunity for the Spirit to speak deeply into you. We've begun each of these sermons by reciting together these Beatitudes, these eight blessings that Jesus gives us. So read them with me again, will you? We're going to be using the NIV translation again today. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Our beatitude that we want to focus on today comes from verse 6 of that reading. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, I don't know that this was a wise choice on my part to talk about hungering and thirsting the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Anybody still hungry at this point? I'm not sure how to help you, but Bob just raised his hand, seriously. But the reality is, I hope that you had a lot of great meals this week. I hope that you were together with those you love and enjoyed a great Thanksgiving holiday. But you know, and I've said this often, how much I love and adore food. So when this Beatitude was read, when I was thinking about this series, I thought, this is my favorite verse of the Bible. Those who hunger and thirst. I was only reading the first part of it, obviously. But the reality is, I love food. I've told you again and again, I love quantity over quality all day long when it comes to eating, right? As much as you can get, as cheap as you can get it. And it's that motto of my life is really starting to show again. So I need to be more paying more attention. But as I hear the words of Christ proclaim, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, we recognize that he's not talking necessarily about physical food that we eat, but he's talking about a longing for him, a hunger for him, a desire to reflect his glory to the world around us. The Message paraphrase interprets verse 6 very, very uniquely. I really like that. I want to share it with you. You are blessed when you are worked up, when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever sat back from a meal and said, that's it, I never need to eat again. That was the best meal I've ever had in my life. And you don't want to ruin it, right? You just want to go out having had the best meal of your life. Well, this is the picture that this paraphrase gave me as I was thinking about this. You're blessed when you work up a good appetite. He's the food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. Now, I don't know about you, but I was thinking about how do you get hungry? And two ways came to my mind. Right? One is to go without food for a very long period of time, you know, 20 or 30 minutes. Right, Bob? After that, you're ready to go again. We're talking about longer than that. But the other way to work up a really good appetite is to work hard and using up your reserve stored energy, right? I think I could work for weeks or months with what I've got stored up inside of me right now. But spiritually speaking, I think those two things have some direct connection. Spiritually, there's talk in Scripture about fasting, how you can go without something very specific for a specific period of time. And as you remove yourself from that, it draws you to a better attention to Christ and His life. And the second way is to work really hard, serving, getting involved in the church and in ministry. That's a real solid path of growth and learning His Word. But the reality is, no matter how you discover hunger today, I want you to know this very simple truth. Hunger is a sign of life. Hunger is a sign of life. When a baby is born, it's crying, it becomes hungry, and it's not going to stop crying until it becomes satisfied, until you feed the child, because that child has one way to communicate, and that's screaming at the top of their lungs, right? And it's going to tell you when it's hungry, and you respond to that. Without this is a condition called failure to thrive. That's a very scary idea that you would think that you would have a child that would have a failure to thrive. But honestly, a lack of appetite at any age, at any stage in life, is a very serious sign that something is not right. Hunger is a sign that says that life is viable. And so when you're working hard to see God's kingdom experienced in the here and the now, what you want inside of you then is a deep hunger, a deep thirst for the things of God, a hunger that says that you desire to see justice win, a hunger that longs to see evil defeated, a thirst that is sickened by pain, disease, heartache, and death. You're hungry and cherish the peace that comes in following Christ. You hunger and thrive in love, a hunger and a thirst that flourishes in mercy or creates unity within the entire body of Christ. Those are the things that the righteous desire. Those are the things that those who follow after Christ should hunger after. And the only way to satisfy hunger is to eat, right? That's the only pathway to satisfy hunger is to eat. And the only way to satisfy your hunger for Christ is to place yourself in His presence, to learn from Jesus. We would call that in the walls of the church a big word called discipleship. The process of learning from the great teacher what it is to find true truth and justice, and what do those things look like. Some would argue, in fact, that the best season of discipleship, the best season of the church, the best era of the church actually took place in the first 300 years of its existence. And I might not argue with them too much. I mean, the church at that time was strong and growing like a weed. The church was under constant persecution, constant pressure, yet it was the driving force that kept them moving forward. Knowing that people wanted to kill them actually inspired the church to go after more and more. This is fascinating to me because I'm not sure the church has that backbone today. At that time period, the church had very few written scriptures, but it thrived on the stories of transformation and mercy that were within its body. Think about it. The church did not have the Bible available on their phones. The church did not even have a copy of the Scriptures in their towns oftentimes. The Scriptures were still being collected and assimilated. They had the Old Testament, they had the Law, but they did not have what we have available to us today, and yet the church thrived under the context of changed lives. And the reason why is that the church thrived under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's what they had available to them, and that's what they leaned into. That's the kind of church that I want to see today. Anybody else with me? I would love to see that church of the first three centuries come alive within us again today. Some would say, I'm not saying I would say this, but some would say that we here at Flushing Community Church are a real thriving church. If you look at what's going on from a stat standpoint, we've grown nearly 20% over the last 2 months. These past 2 months compared to those same 2 months a year ago, our numbers are 20% higher than they were a year ago. If you look at the last 8 months of our existence as a church, we've grown nearly 16%. So the trajectory here is really, really good comparative to other churches. We're constantly a church that's on the top of the list on our district and in the state for growth. God is doing great things, and I'll tell you, good job. And I'd say all glory to God for all of that that's been taking place. But the reality is, I still ask myself this question. I wonder, does the Holy Spirit truly satisfy your hunger? In the midst of what we would look at, some numeric growth and even some discipleship growth, is the Holy Spirit the one that satisfies your hunger? Do we crave for the deep work of God in our lives? Are we seeking the miracles and the power of God to do brand new things in our home, to save our marriages, to build strong relationships, to hold our finances up and all of our worries? Are we really a church that's craving after the fullness of God? Are we just satisfied and growing? Most churches in America are plateaued or declining, right? But I wonder, I seriously wonder as your pastor, what would happen if we within us, deep within us, had a hunger and a thirst to follow after the deepness of God's presence? That we would be like that early church that was dependent upon the Holy Spirit and took the risks to follow Him. I wonder what our church would look like in that environment. Can we ever see the first, second, or third century church come alive within us again? I hope that I get to experience that sometime. Because those who hunger and thirst for the will of God and the justice of God will reflect the image of God to those around them. There's a beautiful picture in Psalm 42 that the psalmist paints of this type of deep longing and hunger. It says, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before Him?" There's this longing to stand in the very presence of God in the here and the now. I don't know how many of you would connect with that and say, I long to be in His presence to see Him right now. I find this to be a fascinating picture of this deer going to the riverbank or to the side of the lake, the water's edge, and receiving water as this most precious longing in its life. But the thing that I also was caught off by, and I'm not a hunter by any means, some of you guys know this all too well, but it seems to me that this would also place the deer in one of its most vulnerable positions. To be drinking in the openness of the edge of the water would put a deer in a place where it would become most vulnerable and unprotected. So it causes me to ask this question. Are we willing to hunger and thirst after God so much that we would put ourselves in vulnerable positions as well? Because it seems like if you're like me, I like to protect myself. I like to guard myself in every set of circumstances. I like to make sure I've got an exit strategy. You know, I like, even when I'm in a restaurant, I like to sit against the wall so I can kind of see everything that's going on. You know, I love to protect. But when I see this passage of Scripture from Psalms, I think, man, do I long to be in the presence of God enough that I'm willing to put myself in the most vulnerable, embarrassing, potentially humiliating of circumstances to follow after His will? That's a hunger that I desire. But the reality is, to all of this, is I'm not sure how much I even really understand hunger. I mean, the truth is, we all have pantries full of food. It's garbage night. We're going to go through the refrigerator and we're going to throw out leftover food, right? How many of you have bought strawberries this year? Got them home from the grocery store and suddenly found them all rotten, right? Can't buy a, something happens when you leave the store with a strawberry. It just wants to go dead right away, right? How many brown bananas have y'all thrown out? How many, how about some bad lettuce? Why am I picking on produce? I have no idea. But we have so much food. We have closets full of clothing. We have no needs. Our hungers are met all the time. And maybe this is why God warns us not to trust our wealth so often, because our greatest longings are always met. Can I ask you a question? I mean, would you be so bold as to really think about this in your own context, your own life? What is your deepest longing? What do you hope for the most in life today? Is it a state championship? Is it a new job promotion? Is it a bigger bank account? What is it? What is the deepest longing in your life? For some of us, it's going to be something connected to money in some way. For others, it may be relationship. Not longing to reach out to someone as much as the longing of relationship to be wanted, to be pursued. For some of us, our cravings are incredibly healthy because they surround the ideas of love and family. But honestly, if we were truthful with ourselves, some of our cravings are a lot more destructive. So if we're honest with ourselves, some of our cravings are about things that we escape with. Alcohol, prescription drugs, pornography, even things that seem good and innocent can be bad when we're using them to replace God, like food and shopping. These are cravings in our life that are, and some of us are very, very loud. And I think the call of God is asking us, what do you hunger for? In your bulletin today, there should be a card that says blessed on the top. I encourage you today to think about a friend, a family member, or someone in your life in some way. Maybe they've passed on and gone before us. Maybe you don't know them personally, but when you think about someone who has hungered after God, they have been willing to set aside their wealth of this world. They have been the kind of people that have put themselves aside. They have hungered and they have thirsted for the things of God. They have craved it so desperately that they have pursued it. And you have watched them do this. You've watched them set aside their own passions and desires to follow after God. Is there someone in your mind that comes that you think of when you think of this area? I would encourage you to write their name on that card, maybe even share a story of how they've modeled that before you. And before you leave today, place that card on our blessed wall. And I would encourage you after service, I saw several looking at this before service, but after service, go and read some of those stories as we've all these weeks been filling this wall with stories of people that have blessed our lives. The question I really want to answer for us today is this: what characterizes a life that hungers and thirsts for righteousness? Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." But I wondered, what does a life look like that hungers and thirsts after righteousness? So I'm going to give you four things that came to my mind over this week as I was reading the scriptures and considering the things that God had for us. The first is this. In these spiritual dietary steps, people who hunger and thirst after righteousness would be people of one goal. One goal. As I read earlier in the service, Jesus teaches on the Sermon on the Mount not to worry about things of this world, what we eat or what we're clothed with. In fact, he says, you're the only creatures that ever stress about these things. The birds don't worry about their next meal. The lilies certainly don't worry about how beautiful they are, and yet they are taken care of and they are gorgeous. There's nothing that worry can do to us that will add one element to our life. And then he says those words that are so powerful: seek the kingdom of God above all else, to have one goal and to live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. This is different than everything you want. Sometimes I think it's difficult for us in our world to think about our wants versus our needs. Jesus never promises to give you all of your worldly wants, but he does promise to provide every one of your needs. And so when we seek first his kingdom, what we're doing is we're saying that we trust God above any other desire. We seek God's approval above the praise of any other man or woman. that we desire God over any other longing in our life. So the first step in my mind of a life that characterizes hunger and thirst for righteousness is that we have one goal, seeking the kingdom of God. Secondly, that we would have one satisfaction. I love the words that Isaiah captured from God, and I'm going to use the Message paraphrase today. This is Isaiah chapter 55, where he writes, "Hey there, all who are thirsty, come to the water. Are you penniless? Come anyway. Buy and eat. Come. Buy your drinks. Buy wine and milk. Buy without money. Everything's free." I love this. This is good stuff. And then he says in verse 2, "Why do you spend your money on junk food, your hard-earned cash on cotton candy? Listen to me. Listen well. Eat only the best. Fill yourself with only the finest." These are some really good words for us today. Isaiah paints this picture of God's invitation to the kingdom as a place where every need is provided for. And not just with temporary junk food. I love the ESV translation that says verse 2 this way, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy?" Those are powerful words. We shouldn't be investing in temporary things. The people who hunger and thirst after righteousness are hungry to be satisfied only by the things that really, really matter. But how often, going back up to that one goal idea, do we worry about things that at the end of our life will not have one significant influence on us? We stress about all of these things. And yet God says, "Come to me. I've taken care of you. You're hungry. It is my food that will satisfy." The people who hunger and thirst for righteousness, hunger and thirst for the things that matter: love, justice, and truth. So we have one goal. We have one satisfaction. And I believe people who hunger and thirst for righteousness also have one mission. The mission of Christ was very clear. I love that Luke, chapter 4, records this moment that Jesus sits in the synagogue at this special chair to read God's word, pulls out the scroll, the reading of the day, and the reading of the day was by no accident Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come." Do not think that that was an accident that Jesus read that day. That articulates the mission of Christ. And the beauty of it is that Jesus invites us to be a part of that same mission today. So those who hunger and thirst for righteousness desire to take the good news that you've been given to those who don't have it. You desire to bring comfort to those who are broken and hurting. You desire to offer freedom to those who are stuck in the bondage of sin and addiction. You desire to experience hope in the midst of sadness and mourning. That is the mission of Christ that He has given to every one of you. This is not limited to those who have reverend or pastor in front of their name. Believe me, this is the mission for all believers. So I ask you today, do you hunger and thirst to be active in His mission? People who hunger and thirst for righteousness will live for one goal. They desire to be satisfied only one way. They want to engage in the mission of God. And I believe, fourth, they want and need to find that hope in one source. John chapter 6 might be one of my favorite chapters in all of the Gospels. I love this chapter because there's such high moments and such very, very low and difficult moments. It starts off by Jesus feeding 5,000, a crowd of over 5,000, with a simple meal offered by a young boy. And man, when I read that again this week, my heart just stopped and thought about what God does with a simple gift from a young, innocent child. He does that with you and I as well. Jesus feeds a multitude with a small gift. From there, He sends His disciples to cross the sea, but He stays behind. And in the midst of the travel of the disciples, a huge storm comes, and here comes Jesus, one of the most iconic moments in Jesus' ministry, walking on the waves, walking on the surface of the water in the midst of this storm. I love this story, mostly because he invites Peter to come out and join him, and Peter does it. He walks on water until his attention gets off of Christ and onto the storm, and suddenly he begins to sink. That applies to so much of my life, that my eyes might see the Lord. That crowd that he had fed the day before jumps in their boats the next morning, and they come searching after Jesus. Who wouldn't? Yesterday he gave them a free meal. Why not another free meal today, right? And they're searching for Jesus to see what he's all about, and he calls them out on this. He says, you're only here because you're interested in another meal. You're not hungry for the mercy of God. And then he reminds them of what true food looks like, spiritually speaking. For those of us who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the source of our satisfaction comes from this verse. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. That crowd that day had a hard time understanding what it meant to actually eat the flesh of Jesus and to drink the blood of Jesus, and that's a mystery that remains even these thousands of years later, right? But the reality is what Jesus is telling us is very simple. For us to find true satisfaction, for our hunger to actually be satisfied in this world, there is no job that will bring it to you. There's no amount of money in your savings account, your 401, 503, whatever you've got, numbers. I don't even know the numbers. Joel, I'm sorry. I messed that completely up. There's no retirement nest egg large enough to bring deep satisfaction. Right? There's no amount of friendships, though they bring great wealth to your life. Without Christ, there will always be a hunger. What Jesus is telling us simply in this verse is if you want to find wholeness in your life, will not come the size of your tent, how many cars you have, nothing. It will come only as you come to the Son of God. For He is the bread of life. Whoever comes to Christ will never be hungry again, even in the midst of trial, even in the midst of struggle. You will find wholeness in Christ. You will find hope in Christ. Some of us get to walk those steps. Some of us wonder what that might look like. He is the source of our righteousness. Do you hunger to reflect Jesus to the world around you? The phrase I hope that we can remember on this day is this: satisfaction in life comes from God to those who crave knowing God and thirst to be like Him. Satisfaction in life will come only from those who crave knowing God and thirst to be like Him. Rick Etzel is a Baptist pastor in South Carolina. I read a quote from him this week that I felt like really summarized this whole concept up, so I'll kind of summarize it for us today. He says, within the kingdom of God, you can really have whatever you want if you want it badly enough. He says, most of us are about as close to God as we want to be. We have as much joy as we want. We have as much peace as we want. For the most part, you are where you are right now, spiritually speaking, because that's where you want to be. If you are hungry for something better from God, then you would go after it. That's a true statement. The reality is some of us like living on the fence of having just enough of the world and just enough of God. But those who hunger and thirst for righteousness deny their cravings of the world and say, I want all of Jesus. I want to live after this. So if you want it, you can have a close walk with God. If you want it, you can have a better marriage. If you want it, you can accomplish the will of God and the mission that God has for you. If you want it, You can grow spiritually, and you can take the steps to become more like Christ. If you want it, you can become a man or a woman that pursues the very heart of God. If you want it, deeply ingrained habits within you can change. If you want it, you can break destructive patterns of behavior. Because when you hunger and thirst for the things of God, when you want what God wants above any other longing in your life, I believe God will honor that hunger and He will bring satisfaction to your soul when you turn to Him. So church, if you're hungry today, come and eat the bread of life. If you're hungry today, come and drink the water of life. If you're weary and deeply burdened today, come and find rest and peace. If you feel guilty today, let me tell you, come and be forgiven, restored, and redeemed, and remove that stain of guilt. Because in Christ, we have everything we could ever crave, everything we could ever desire, everything we could ever hunger for. And according to Isaiah 55, it's all free of charge. Come and eat the very best that He has to give us. See, I think of it this way. If you look at your life and you say, man, I am perfectly reflecting the image of Christ to everybody around me, then there's nothing to hunger. But I look at my life, and those who know me best will say, Terry's got a long way to go. Can you join me in the process of hungering for the things of God? Can you join me in the steps that are necessary to take us and sometimes put us in the most vulnerable of positions to say, I desire to feast on what is good. I desire to say no to the cravings of this world, but instead I desire to hunger and thirst for the things of God. For that's where we'll dwell. For those who hunger and thirst, that's what we'll take with us from this place. The acts of righteousness, the moments of offering the good news to those who don't know, the moments of offering hope to the broken, the moments of proclaiming God's favor has come. Mark chapter 10 parallels this with a story where Jesus comes alongside of a blind man, and Jesus asked a very simple question: what do you want me to do? I think it seemed like a very silly question to ask a blind man, of course. But sometimes Jesus asks us, what do you want? What do you want me to do? That blind man said, Jesus, I want to see. And Jesus restored his sight. Maybe the Holy Spirit today is asking you, what do you want? What do you long for? What do you crave? If you answer, I crave more of you, Lord, I know my Lord well enough to know that He will give you the bread of life. He will invite you to come and to deny your earthly longings of acceptance for all the wrong reasons, and He'll give you a joy and a peace for all the good and all the right. Church, can we hunger and thirst for Christ? Can we come after Him and say, no matter what may happen, no matter what diagnosis comes my way, no matter what I may be asked to face, I crave Christ. Would you stand with me? Lord, in You, we have everything we could ever hope for or desire. You are the fullness of our longings. Help us to respond in such a way that we acknowledge our need, our hunger, and our thirst for You.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.